Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. God called to Jonah to get up, go to Nineveh, and proclaim God's word, but Jonah refused until God called a second time. God is persistent. God believes in those whom God has called. Jesus called the disciples by the lakeshore. They left their families and jobs to follow Jesus. Lord, give us the courage to follow you all of our lives. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Liberator, the expression of God's redeeming and restoring love, the mark of humanness, source of courage, power, and love, God of God, light of light, ground of our humanity. We believe that God resides in slums, lives in broken homes and hearts, suffers our loneliness, rejection, and powerlessness. But through death and resurrection, God gives life, pride, and dignity, provides the content of our vision, offers the context of our struggle, promises liberation to the oppressor and the oppressed, hope to those in despair. We believe in the activity of the Holy Spirit who revives our decaying soul, resurrects our defeated spirits, renews our hopes of wholeness, and reminds us of our responsibility in ushering in God's new order here and now. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament book of Jonah, the third chapter. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 and then verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned away from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened.
You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, though to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, precious Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, precious Lamb of God, name it is.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the first chapter of Mark, verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a young boy, my dad, grandfather, and I would often take off early on a Saturday morning to a nearby lake, usually in Bella Vista, and we'd take Grandpa's fishing boat, buy some crickets as bait, and go out fishing for several hours. And on many occasions, we'd never catch a thing. One time, just one time, my sister Christy came along with us, and you know what? You guessed it. She caught a fish. But even though I wasn't the one who caught the fish, it was still a really exciting experience. For one thing, we learned, gee, this lake really does have fish in it. I was also able to see what it was like to catch one, to bring it into the boat, to put it in the bucket, to take it home and scale it, and then prepare it for cooking, and then to savor the flavors of it. I wasn't the one who caught it, but I was glad Christy did. As we look at our gospel lesson for this morning, two really important facts jump right off the page. The first is how quickly, actually immediately, the disciples responded to Jesus' call. The second is that he called them not to be catchers of men, but to be fishers. And there's a difference. Verse 18 tells us about the quick decision on the disciples' part. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Something's really happening here. People don't usually drop what they're doing immediately, especially fishermen. Fishermen, they think things over. They're usually slow to act because they're used to having to use so much patience to get what they really want. But for these four disciples, well, their response was immediate. They left their nets and they followed Jesus. How many people are willing to follow or respond so immediately? How often are people asked to do something for the church and their immediate answer is, "Sure, I will. I'll be glad to." How often do we immediately respond? Is it only when our boss calls or our wife or our mom? Or do we even put off a response in those cases? "Just a minute, honey," or "Not right now, dear," or "How about during the next time out?" What about the disciples, what they were called to do? Well, it pales in comparison to the little things I'm talking about. All the disciples of Jesus left something behind. These first four left their fishing boats, their livelihood, and their homes. And it wasn't the kind of situation where they could say, "Well, okay, we'll try this out for a little while and see how it works." No, they followed. There was a bit of finality about it, isn't there? Have we left anything to follow Jesus? And I ask this because in order to follow Jesus, we do have to leave something behind for good. And it may not mean that we have to leave our present jobs or our homes or our families, but it certainly might. What it definitely does mean is that we will have to leave behind some of the prejudices that we cherish so much and that we're so familiar to who we are. And maybe there are some lifestyle issues that we must leave behind in order to follow Christ. Almost 20 years ago, at a Promise Keepers men's rally, I was asked to witness to a middle-aged man. And I asked him if he believed that Jesus is who he say that he is. His answer was yes. Then I asked him if he'd be willing to pray and repent of his sins and ask Jesus to become the Lord of his life. His answer shocked me a bit. "No, not yet. I believe, but I'm not ready to give my life to Christ. There are too many things I'm not ready to give up." How many of us believe, but we're not willing to follow? James, the brother of Jesus, tells us even the demons believe. But we are also told that they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The power of the gospel changes people's lives. Once we meet Jesus on the road of our own individual life and decide to follow him, we will be changed. We will be different people. But many of us tend to resist change. So many folks just want to see the gospel through rose-colored glasses, wanting to see only the joy, the comfort, and the light, and not wanting to see the difficult or the disruptive. Behold, I make all things new, says Jesus. Two very important words in this morning's gospel lesson are repent and believe. Too many people think repent means to feel sorry for what you've done and then go on to do it again. That's not it at all. Repent means to change direction. It means a change in priorities. It means living with a whole new approach to life. It calls us to embrace the newness and change which Jesus brings. And to believe, well, it doesn't mean just listing our denomination as United Methodist on some application blank. It means trust and reliance and placing one's whole life in God's hands, regardless of what happens in life. It's called the leap of faith. That's the kind of change that the gospel produces. That's what makes us different. And there's no turning back because it's a difference that won't go away. This is what happens to the disciples as soon as they begin to follow Jesus. Nothing was ever the same again. Here's the beginning of a new and exciting journey, the best journey imaginable, where God is not just a Sunday friend, but a daily companion. And this is what happens to all of us when we heed the call of Christ in our lives to come, follow me. And when we embrace this newness of life that Jesus offers, well, we see how good things can be. We experience God's love up close and personal, and we want to pass it on. Come and follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. There is a difference between being fishers and catchers of men. Jesus calls us to be fishers. Think about your life journey today. How many people dropped a hook in front of you before you finally grabbed a hold of the new life you found in Christ? I'd imagine an awful lot. Maybe you were brought up in church. Maybe you were surrounded by the preaching of the word, the invitation to accept Christ, and people who were wonderful, grace-filled examples of how magnificently different it is to be a follower of Christ, but you still didn't bite. At the same time, there were hundreds upon hundreds of seeds being planted. And then one day, well, praise the Lord, it all clicked. The decision was straight ahead of you, and you became a Christian on your own accord. And you believed, really believed, and things really started to change in your life. Who was the one who caught you? There had to be a lot of fishers after you, but who caught you? Was it not the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ himself? As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Even the ability to believe and make the decision to accept God's plan of salvation is a gift of God. Fishing is not the same as catching. Jesus calls us to be fishers, not catchers, and that's good. It means that we're not alone in the project of proclaiming the gospel to the world. God is with us. Since it is God, the Holy Spirit, alone who enables our fish to be caught, who enables people to respond to our message? And since it is the Holy Spirit who does the catching, we don't need to take the rejection of the gospel personally. Maybe it wasn't the right time for that person. Maybe the Holy Spirit has some other things to work out with them first. Maybe a lot of things. Maybe they will never accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives. We do have free will. The main thing we should be concerned with is that the fact that we did witness to them, and whether a catch is made or not, we are called to cast the net again and again, to proclaim the good news to another person by words and deeds, and let the Holy Spirit fill the net according to God's will. Each week since this past April, folks from our church have participated in our radio ministry and have talked about our church and what good things God is doing in their lives. That's fishing. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict and to bring in the fish. As a matter of fact, not only is the message from Pea Ridge United Methodist Church being heard locally, but around the world via the internet. Many have been invited to accept Christ. Many have been invited to come to church. Yes, even our church. There's been a lot of fishing going on right in our own midst. And maybe we didn't even know it. And even folks in this church, the folks in this church are growing spiritually, becoming braver and sharing Christ with others. People are being transformed right before our eyes, and we are praising God for that. Just like it was not me, but my sister, Christy, who caught the one and only fish. But I was so happy to see that one caught. It's not us who do the catching. But we do the fishing and rejoice when the Holy Spirit convicts and a positive decision is made. So let's put ourselves in those boats so long ago with the knowledge we have of a Savior who wants to give everyone the gift of salvation. And let's remember that this gift can neither be bought nor earned by any human being, that it is, however, God's free gift to those who call upon Jesus' name, who trust Jesus for salvation and not themselves. Let's hear Jesus call us to be fishers of people. Let us respond by fishing and fishing and fishing and letting God take care of the rest. Let's pray. Jesus, you called the four fishermen to leave their nets and to follow you. Help us today to be open to your leading as we too seek ways to follow you and to share the good news of your love with all the people you enable us to meet. We thank you, Jesus, for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our King and Savior, who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You have come up to the lake shore, looking neither for wise or for wealthy. You only wanted that I should. Searched me, and while smiling have called out my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. Now with you I will seek other scenes.
You know that I am solid.
blesses me, and while smiling have called out my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, now with you I will seek other seas. You need the caring of my hands. Through my tiredness may others find resting. You need a love that just goes on loving. Oh Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have called out my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, now with you I will seek other seas. Seek other seas. Now with you, I will seek other seas.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.